Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Dalet. We're still holding on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Beit. So, we've got a problem. We've got a problem in a Mishnah that says that if you shechted and there was no dam, then you can eat that meat with your Yadayim Mesoavot. We had no idea what in the world that is supposed to mean, because you can always eat meat of chulin with your Yadayim Mesoavot. And this is clearly meat of chulin. I mean, we even talked about chaya in the Mishnah, and certainly there's no chaya in kachim. And anyway, if it were kachim, then dam of kachim is irrelevant because it's not machshir. And besides, you don't need dam on kachim because the Chibas HaKodesh would be machshir, no matter how you look at it. This Mishnah's talking about chulin. So where would we get the idea that there's a problem of having a mukhshir lekabel tuma meat, and if it's only chulin, your hands are anyway only a sheni? So we tried one answer yesterday, and certainly one approach, which was that we were talking about Yadayim Techilot, and we were going according to Rabbi Akiva, and we were going according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, put it all together, and what do you get? That Yadayim that are Dichnasot, the Bayit HaMitzorah, is considered to be Yadayim Techilot, Alibad Rabbi Akiva, and the way Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon explains it, that would be true even Legabe Chulin, and not only Legabe Chuma Vekachim. So that's one approach. It's a little bit theoretical, but the case we happen to be talking about is, Mishnayos often will do that. They will give you the theoretical possibility. So, Nechalis, the Yadayim Misoavot would mean under any and all circumstances, no matter what the Yadayim Misoavot were and how they became that way, even maximal Yadayim Misoavot, Shenichnasu B'Bayit HaMenugah, and it's going like Rabbi Akiva, and according to the interpretation of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, it would still be mutter to eat with your Yadayim Misoavot. Okay, that's one approach. But then, yesterday, we started with another very simple approach. And that was that we're talking about a special kind of chulin. We're talking about a chulin which is Nasu al Taras HaKadosh. So this was the approach that we had yesterday that was quoted from Rav Hoshaya. And since it's chulin, that the person who is eating this chulin is often exposed to kodesh, he wants to make sure that he doesn't get used when he's back at home to having tummy things around. And then when he's back with his kachim things, he may end up chas v'sholem being matame kodesh. So he was mekabel on himself that all of his food is going to be al taras hakodesh. Well, as Rav Hoshaya has explained, of course, that would have to be shelo k'Rabbi Yehoshua. And this was the key issue that we got involved in yesterday. Why does it have to be shelo k'Rabbi Yehoshua? So in order to establish that, we got into the Mishnah, which was quoted over here as as a braita, but that's wrong. It's, it said the Tanya, but it was really Ditznan. Let's start from there again, because this is a complex sugya, and we don't want to get lost in it. So let's just remember everybody's shita. We're on the bottom of Lamed Gimel. And let's just go into why this has to be Shalok Rebbe Yeshua. And let's count up 8 lines from the bottom. The Tanya Rebbe Eliezer Omer. So here we have our famous Machlokas in the Mishnah and Tyrus. Rebbe Eliezer says that if somebody eats food that is a Rishon Matuma, so remember we introduced yesterday this concept. There's a concept of Tuma'at Gviya, Gviya meaning your body. And that Gviya is not spelt with an ayin because that's something that you would be drinking from. And assuming you're not a vampire, then you don't want to have a Gviya. For this, so you won't want to have a Gviya. And therefore, the question is, if somebody is eating something that's tummy, and he doesn't realize that he put something tummy into his mouth, he's a person that always drinks truma wine in his house and so on, not realizing that he has an oichel. Remember, truma is very sensitive. It will be mekabel truma from a sheni. So in that case, if he would put truma into his mouth and then he would take a little drink of wine to wash it down, And that drink was of truma. He was just over on Mishmar Truma Tai, and he made the truma tame. So the Rabbanan word goes there that when a person eats, even though, of course, food can never be matame an adam, because an adam is only mekabel truma from an avat truma. But if he ate so much that he would normally need to take a drink with it to wash it down, and that was the shear of chatzi pras, which according to Rashi is shtei bitzim, so then we treat him as if he was matame himself. Well, that changes the whole thing. People are going to be very careful. If they're used to handling truma, they're not going to have stuff like that in their house that could be matame them and then make it impossible for them to have their truma anymore. So we made this takana. Now, in that takana, we have a machlokas between Reb Eliezer and Reb Yeshua as to what the status is of the person who ate the tuma, depending on what kind of tuma, what level of tuma he ate. Did he eat a rishon? Did he eat a sheni? Did he eat a shlishi? So let's take a look at the lashon of the Mishnah. Reb Eliezer omer, ochel, ochel, rishon, rishon. Somebody who eats a first level tuma, he himself becomes a first-level tuma. If he eats an ochel sheni, so then he becomes a second-level tuma, sheni, sheni. If he eats a shlishi, he becomes a shlishi. We're going to talk about the logic of this today. Reb Yeshua says, oh no, if he eats an ochel rishon or a sheni, he becomes a sheni. Which is very inconsistent. I mean, you know, if you become the food that you eat, so then why, if you eat the rishon, do you become a sheni? Well, that's going to have to be explained by Reb Yeshua. And if he eats a shlishi, then he becomes a sheni for kodesh, but he doesn't become a sheni for truma. And what type of food am I talking about that he ate? Did he eat, when we said he ate something that is shlishi? Is there such a thing as a shlishi? Yes, there is. In the event that he was eating chulin, shenasu atiras truma. Uh-oh. So now Rabbi Yeshua seems to be studiously avoiding the concept of chulin shenasu atiras hakodesh. I mean, this is less common, but he seems to be insisting that it's chulin shenasu atiras truma. Therefore, says Rav Hoshaya, I'm Bidayik from over there, that he apparently only holds that there is a possibility of a shlishi b'chulin if that chulin was nasu altaras shruma. Yes, but altaras hakodesh? Lo. So he apparently doesn't believe in chulin shenasu altaras hakodesh. And the logic of that is that even though kodesh is more chomor, there are limits to imagination. And therefore, if you want to imagine that your food is truma, okay, then you're not totally off the wall. But to start imagining yourself as always walking around the Beis HaMikdash and eating kodesh, for that you'd probably have to move to Tzvat into one of the more floating areas. And therefore, according to him, there's no such thing as chulin shenasu altaras hakodesh. It's too much of a departure from reality, and the Chachamim never initiated that concept that there should actually be a Kabbalah Stuma based on that. Fine. That seems to be the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua, and that's why I say, says Rabbi Hoshaya, that if we're going to explain our Mishnah as referring to Chulin Shenasu Altaras HaKedesh, then it would have to be not like Rabbi Yeshua, it would have to be going like Rabbi Eliezer. So, Kasava, apparently, Rabbi Yeshua holds that Chulin Shenasu Altaras HaKedesh does not have a shlish. Okay, that's where we got up to yesterday, and it seems pretty clear, and there's only one very obvious question left. Why did we have to shoehorn our Mishnah into a case where the chulin that you were going to eat, and that therefore would be mekabel tuma from a sheni, to become a shlishi, that is to say, would be mekabel tuma from yadayim misoavot, stam yadayim, or any yadayim, if you don't know, like Rabbi Akiva, would be a sheni, why shoehorn in it to chulin shenasu altaras hakodesh if you could make it work out according to anybody, including Rabbi Yeshua, and just in substitute for the word chulin shenasu altaras hakodesh, substitute the word chulin shenasu altaras shuma, and then everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yeshua agrees. So why not just say the Mishnah is very straightforward? It's talking about chulin, that if it would have gotten wet and it would have been ready, then you would have been in big trouble, because that chulin you had already defined as a type of chulin that can be makabel tuma from even a sheni, which is tam yadayin. So what forced Rabbi Oshaya to say that his explanation of the Mishnah could only work out Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer against Rabbi Yoshua? Asks the Gemara today in the last word on Amud Beis, the Lukma, why don't we say that the Mishnah is going on chulin shenasa taras truma? What's your big problem? And then it could be even Rabbi Yoshua, right? No. How could the Mishnah be going with taras truma, for heaven's sakes? What is the Mishnah talking about? What type of food? Meat. Did you ever hear of truma meat in your life? I mean, there may be some kohanim that try to get people to give truma for meat when they need to have some beef, but there ain't no such animal as a truma beef. And therefore, how could the Mishnah be referring to virtual truma when you're looking at a piece of meat and you know darn well this isn't truma? Speaking about limits to imagination, I mean, this would be crazy. So of course we can't be talking about chulin shenasa ataras truma, because diktani basar. Did anybody ever hear basar mi'ika? Is there such a thing as truma meat? Oh, excuse me, sir, but so what are you saying? You're saying it's talking about kachim? And did you ever see kachim venison? I mean, it says in the Mishnah, chaya. So that means if you got a nice deer meat, then that is going to be in your imagination. Apparently, you can be quite imaginative. So why not just imagine the meat to be truma? Oh, come on. Basar b'basar michlif. Basar b'piri lo michlif. If you're looking at a piece of meat, you don't know immediately. I'm looking at a piece of raw meat. Do I know whether this is venison, whether it's beef? I mean, that's, I'm not looking at a particular kind of meat, but I sure as heck know that this meat is not a grape. That I can tell you. And probably even Richie would admit that he could do that. Hey, Rich, where are you, man? Yeah. Anyway, so there's no way to confuse grapes with meat. And because of that, you can't have our Mishnah talking about chulin shenasa ataras truma. Makes perfectly good sense. So Ula said, you know, my dear friends claim that the Mishnah can only work out if it's talking about chulin shenasa ataras hakodesh. These are my chavrusas. And they're claiming it can't work out according to Rabbi Yeshua. Well, baby, I got news for you. I think that it is talking about exactly what they said, chulin shenasa ataras hakodesh, and it can absolutely work out according to Rabbi Yeshua. I know where they get the idea that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't hold of chulin shenasa ataras hakodesh. I mean, that whole thing, that diak in the Mishnah Tyrus, in which Rabbi Yeshua said, well, I'm talking about what kind of chulin shenasa ataras truma. What makes you think that he holds that's the only case? Maybe he's saying even that case. Why did you assume that just because he says, you know, we're talking about chulin shenasa ataras truma, so maybe he just wants to tell me a chiddush that could be talking about even chulin shenasa ataras truma is considered to be like truma, and it would be makabel tuma from yadayim besoavot, which are sheni. But obviously, if it's chulin shenasa ataras hakodesh, I mean, look, you know, I don't want to exaggerate, but for sure that would be true. I don't understand why you think that Rabbi Yoshua in that Mishnah in Tyrus meant only chulin shenasa ataras truma. Maybe he meant even a chulin shenasa ataras truma. So why did everybody jump to the conclusion? That's what I think it means, and I don't know why everybody's against Rabbi Yeshua here. Works out fine. Now, who exactly was Ula referring to when he was talking about my friends, the Chavrusas? Who? Which Chavrusa? Who claimed that that Mishnah could only be working out according to non-Rabbi Yoshua, and that Rabbi Yoshua would have to mean only chulin shenasa ataras truma? Now look, there's some subtle diyukim coming up, and you have to pay close attention to what's going on, because otherwise it's a little confusing. The question is, what did Rabbi Yoshua mean, right? When he said, What chulin are we talking about? Chulin shenasu al tairas trum. That's what he said. Now, that might mean, so far, we've got two possibilities of what that means. I only believe that there is such a truma if you're talking about chulin shenasu al tairas truma. But I don't believe that there would be kabbalas truma from a sheni if we're talking about chulin shenasu al tairas hakodesh, because I don't believe there is such a concept of chulin shenasu al tairas hakodesh. That was explanation number one, which Rav Hoshaya assumed, and he said that means that it can't be going according to Rabbi Yeshua. Ula suggested that that is an absolute leap. There's no reason to say that. Maybe all that Rabbi Yeshua was saying in that Mishnah was that we could even be talking about chulin shenasu al tairas truma. Don't think you have to be talking about a rare case where a guy is so being so careful that he's even careful not to eat chulin shenasu al tairas hakodesh. It could be even shenasu al tairas truma. That's the other explanation. So far we have two possible explanations, right? Now, if we're trying to find out who the man de Omar is that claims that it's only chulin shenasu al tairas hakodesh, and that is the chavraya unnamed that Ula referred to, we need to look more carefully at other options for what Rabbi Yeshua was saying. And in order to do that, we need to look into the additional material that Rabbi Bar Bar Chana adds, which we didn't know, and he reported that he was mekabel from his Rebbe, the details of the communication between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer about their shitot in that Mishnah. And when we're medayik in that conversation, then we could see an alternative explanation for the use of chulin shenasu al tairas truma instead of al tairas hakodesh. So, let me take a look now at Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. As the Gemara Man Chavraya, so who is this mysterious Chavrusa? It's Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. How do I know? Because Rabbi Bar Bar Chana reports in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that he learned, "My Ahadre Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua Lahadadi." What do you think Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua answered one another's shita? What is the logic? And here we're getting into the underlying svaras in that Mishnah and Tyrus, which are a little bit strange, because as we noted, there seems to be no consistency whatever in the shita of Rabbi Yeshua. I mean, he's going up and he's going down, and like, which way do we go? So Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Yeshua, look, in general, please remember, gentlemen, your basic diktuk. There are Ochlin and there are ochlim. Those are very different things. Ochlim are people who are eating, and ochlim are food that are being eaten. So don't get confused here in the next statement, because matzino, the ochel, is chamur min ha'ochel. The person who is eating ends up being more tamei than the food that he is eating. Now, from this point on, the Gemara is going to be kind to you, and instead of using the word ochel for food, it's going to change it to ma'achal, just so that you shouldn't get confused. But this is a good place to remember. Okay, so we start off with the word. We find that the ochel, the person eating the food, is more chamur than the food itself, more than the ochel. And where is the ochel more chamur than the ochel? Because we start with a nivlat of tahar, one of our favorite cases. We got a nivlat of tahar, and you pick up that Safeway chicken. Is that chicken metame you as an avela? No, because chickens are only metame you if you eat them as an avela. And as you swallow them, they're metame you. Now, what a crazy situation. You touch the chicken, and it's not metame you. You carry the chicken, and it's not metame you. You dance with the chicken, and it's not metame you. But you eat the chicken, and it's metame you. Now, what does that show? It shows that eating can make you more tame than the food itself, because in this case, the food isn't tame in any typical sense, but eating the food makes you tame. So what do you think about that? Therefore, I say, it shows us that we, at the very least, have to make the person, we're making a takana derabanan that we want people to become tame from food, We've got ourselves a template in the Torah, and therefore, look, at the very least, Anu, Eich lo naaseh the ochel kemachal. How would we not, at the very least, say that whatever you eat is metami you at the same level? Of course, all midrabbanan remember, but it's metami you at the very least to be at the same level as the food that you were eating. That's why I say consistently, you eat a rishon, you become a rishon, you eat a sheni, become a sheni, you eat a shlishi, become a shlishi. I'm just pointing out that this is sort of standard. Rabbi Yeshua says, you can't learn anything out of Nivlas Ov Tahar. Nivlas Ov Tahar is a completely, I mean, absolutely out of range. And it is really the one thing not to learn out from. Because something that's completely out of range is not just called a black swan. It is called a chiddush. And therefore, it's completely not like the normal dinner. Whatever something normally tame is, that's exactly what this bird is not. And therefore, how can it serve as a template? It's a complete chiddush that something should not be metame b'maga, should not be metame b'masa, and that's the normal way of being metame, but it is metame in the very way that nothing else would be metame, because you can't be metame a person from touching the inside of his mouth or throat. That is called Tumat Beit HaSittarim. And Tumat Beit HaSittarim is not Mekabel Tuma. So what is this? It's an inversion of everything you know. So you can't take an inverted case, which is the Chiddush, and make it a template. It's ridiculous. So why would you learn out from Nivlas Ov Tahar? And therefore, you can't learn from there. I'll tell you where you do learn out. So Minivlat Ov Tahar Lo Gamrina. No, Nivlat Ov Tahar is off the wall. The Chiddush. But you want to look for a template? Okay. Matzinu shamachal chamur min ha'ochel. We do find that if the food that the person is eating would be more chamur than the person who's eating it. Where do we see that? Well, because how much food does it take to be metame something? It only takes a kibetza. But how much food does it take for you to become tame? Two beitzim, according to Rashi, a chatzi pras, right? That means that the food is more likely to be metame you than you would be from eating the food. So there you go. Food is metame. I shouldn't say you, but food is metame bekebeitza, and the person who eats it is only mitame with shnei beitzim, and therefore the food is going to be more chomer. So I say drop down one level. And if you eat a rishon, you should only be a sheni. That's what I said. So, dilu ma'achal b'kibetza v'ochel ad ochel chatzi pras. So how can we take your approach? It's absurd. V'anu eich naaseh ochel kima'achal. How would you expect us to believe your din that the person who eats gets the same halacha as the food that he's eaten? It makes no sense. Rabbi Eliezer's answer to that is, what the heck does the chumrah of the tuma have to do with the shear of the tuma? That's ridiculous. The shear of the tuma was a logistical determination, remember, that the chachamim made, that we're only going to make this gezeira when you're eating enough food to want to wash it down with wine. That was the problem. The problem was the tuma of truma. So he said, okay, if you're going to eat that much, you're going to have shnei beitzim, and then you're going to be thirsty, then we're nervous. So therefore, we said, if the food that you're eating is shnei beitzim, that's all logistics. What in the world does that have to do with the nature of the level of the tuma, which is a completely separate issue? Don't understand. Tuma, mishiurim, lo gamrinan. We don't learn out the chumrah of the tumah from the amount of tumah that it takes to be metame. So please chuck that. And anyway, you still don't make any sense, Rabbi Yeshua, because you're completely inconsistent. You said, let's drop one. Okay, fine. So you've explained one out of three of the points that you've made. You say a rishon is a sheni. Okay, fine. You've explained to me. I think it's crazy, but you explained to me why a rishon is a sheni. Yafeh atomer, lovely. You made a little bit of sense. Now, can you explain to me why a sheni is a sheni? You're not explaining. All of a sudden, you agree with me that we're going to make the ochel the same as the ochel. Now, how do you explain that, huh? So, Lidvorechem, you're explaining very well. Shata omer al rishon sheni yafa, ata omer, lovely. But unfortunately for you, I read your next opinion, which was that a sheni becomes a sheni. Now, how do you explain that? Oh, well, that's an anomaly, says Rabbi Yehoshua. And why would you make that as an anomaly? Well, that's because a sheni can always make a sheni. Huh? Yes. Remember, we have a Gavi rule, which is Mashkim Chozrim Liyot Rishon. Remember that? Whenever you're Metame Mashkim, they always turn into a Rishon Latuma. This is because of the Chumrah of Mashkim. First of all, they're Alulin Lekabel Tuma. They don't require Hechsher because they are by definition Mashkim. And remember, there are Mashkim that are very Chomer, like Ma'ayanot Azav and so on. All of those things may, because of that, we have various Chumras on Mashkim. One of which is that whenever Mashkim become Tame, they are Tame as if they had come in contact with an Avat Tuma, and they are always a Rishon. So now, imagine a situation like this. You're touching, you've got a piece of bread that's Tame, and you've got an apple, which is wet on the outside because you just washed it off, and your bread touches the apple. What's the din? The din is that the water that's on the apple from having washed it off becomes a Rishon, and the next apple becomes the same sheni that the bread was. So a sheni can become a sheni if you touch with your hands that are a sheni, a wet apple. This, by the way, is very nogei l'halacha, right? Because when you eat wet food, you have to do netilas yadayim before. Why is that? Because matzinu sheni osu sheni bechulun hayadei mashkin. So all of you know that, right? You wash. That's why we do that special washing at the Seder Shel Pesach, because we dipped our food, and now we've got wet food, and we can't eat it b'stam yadayim. Because sheni is osa, this is a common halacha. Fine. Therefore, says Rabbi Yehoshua, so this is an anomaly. Because, look, for all intents and purposes, I mean, it often happens that a sheni makes a sheni directly. So therefore, when a person eats a sheni, I say, let's treat him in the same way. Shenis make shenis. Okay, so that's an anomaly. Okay? So that's because, matzinu shasheni osa sheni ayidei mashkin. Omar lo, so Rabbi Yehoshua said to him, wait a minute here, my friend. If you're going to be making the takona based on the mashkin, why talk about the sheni making the sheni? Why not talk about making the mashkin a rishon and say it should be a tchila? So if that's the case, va mashkin nami tchila havo, ditznan kol haposel betruma, all of those things, that pasul truma, those were all of those gezeras that we made, remember, the long list that we had in Shabbos, touching a Sefer Torah, what of all of those lists? Those were all things that were Gezeres Derabbanan, and the din in all of them is that they're all a sheni. The Rabbanan were only Gozer in all those Yudches Dvarim, they were only Gozer sheni. The only example that we had possibly was Rabbi Akiva Shita, which was the din of Yadayim that were nichnasim lebayit amenugah. But other than that, we never heard of any other takana derabbanan other than making something a sheni. And that pasul truma to be a shlishi. So therefore, we frame it like that. Anything that pasul truma is metami mashkin liyot tchila. Now, there's one case where that is not true, and you remember where that is. We learned that in the Mishnah and Parah together. That was except for the Tful Yom. Now, the Tful Yom, because it's true that a Tful Yom is metame as the equivalent of a sheni bituma, but because it's ichleshe leitumato, because he's gone to the mikvah already, that is a different sort of sheni, and there he is not metame mashkin liotzchila. Fine, okay. But the point is, I'm just explaining to you, Rabbi Yehoshua, I mean, that if you're telling me that you're basing this on the relationship of mashkin, why not go all the way and say it should become a rishon? And then I got another problem, and that's what the next piece that you say also is absurd. You say that if you eat a shlishi, then you go up? I mean, look at your crazy shita over here. I mean, go ahead, graph out your shita, you know? Rishon, you become a sheni. But sheni, you become a sheni. And then shlishi, you become a sheni going up. What's going on? You're going down, you're staying the same, or are you going up? So this is a nutty shita you've got over here. So shlishi sheni lama. Now, here is the critical moment. And what does Rabbi Yeshua answer to this? Well, says he, Af ani lo amarti ela betruma. I was only talking about chulin shenasu al tairas truma. And truma, remember, truma from chagiga, somebody who is tohar for truma, is considered to be tamei for kodesh. And he's completely tamei. He's the moment he touches anything that's kodesh, he's metamei. What? He was just eating truma. He was completely tar. Those were the malot that were made by kodesh. So therefore, since truma, taharata, is tum'ah etzel hakodesh, so therefore, it is definitely going, this is the complete tuma as far as kodesh is concerned. So therefore, I say it's even worse, because since you only were dealing over here with something that was not really tahar, it was tahar only for truma, was super tahar, but it wasn't tahar for kodesh. So since it begins with something that's tame for kodesh, that explains why I say it would even go up. In the sense that if you're talking about your being in a position that you would be metame kodesh, oh man, then you would go up and you would even become, that's what I'm saying, you'd become more tame than the ochels. This is not just a question of sheni or sheni. This is a question of a shlishi going up one level, because I told you, didn't I, that I'm talking about chulin shenasu al tairas truma. And the Tyra of Truma is Tuma when it comes to Kodesh. And that's the point. Now, how do we understand that point? When he says, I only was talking about Chulin Shenasu al Tairas Truma. And this is Rabbi Bar Bar Chana who said that this was what they talked about between themselves. Now, this certainly... it seems to be saying that there's two ways of understanding this. If we understand that what Rabbi Yeshua was saying was, listen here, didn't I tell you my reasoning was that we're talking about Chulin Shenasu al Tairas Truma, then he would have said so. He would have said, not Af Ani Lo Amarti, he would have said, I explained to you, I'm talking about Chulin Shenasu al Tairas Truma. So if I said that, so then what do you think I'm telling you? Obviously, I explained why I'm making a shlishi, someone who eats a shlishi, a sheni. That's why I said Chulin Shenasu al Tairas Truma. So what would that mean? That you'd have to be pretty stupid to ask him, so why did you say that a sheni, somebody who eats a shlishi becomes a sheni? What's wrong with you? You didn't hear me? I said I'm talking about Chulin Shenasu al Tairas Truma. Now, if he holds that Chulin Shenasu al Tairas Truma is the only possible case, then this makes sense. I said Chulin Shenasu al Tairas Truma. You understood that to mean, and correctly, you understood that to mean that we're talking about the case of Chulin Shenasu al Tairas Truma because there's no alternative, because there's no such thing as Chulin Shenasu al Tairas HaKadosh, right? This is the same that Chavrusa that we're looking for. So he's saying, this is Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. And Rabbi Yeshua does not turn around to him and say, are you stupid or something? I told you my svara. My svara is that Chulin Shenasu al Tairas Truma is Tomei Etzel Kodesh. That's not what happened over here. Or at least it's not what Rabbi Eliezer had perceived. As far as Rabbi Eliezer was concerned, the only reason Rabbi Yeshua had mentioned B'chulin Shenasu al Tairas Truma was because that's the only case he could come up with to say that there's a shlishi B'chulin. You see? Now, when I push him to the corner and I say, but wait a minute, why would something that is tame only as a shlishi make the person who eats it a sheni? then you could turn around and say, well, it's a good thing that I hold that there is only one case, which is the case of Chulin Shenazar Altairus Truma, because that answers your question. But if the only reason I said in the first place that we're talking about Chulin Shenazar Altairus Truma would be that that's the explanation of my Shita, so then that would be the perfect, beautiful reason. Forget about even Chulin Shenazar Altairus Truma. Forget about only because there's no such thing. It's very clear. I'm a genius. I told you one is the Shita that I'm talking about. A case where we had Chulin Shenazar Altairus Truma, which is considered to be Tamei Legabe Kodesh. In that particular case, a sheni that you, the shlishi that you eat would make you a sheni. You see? So that means that since Rabbi Bar Bar Chana has this supposed conversation between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer made the assumption that the only reason that you mentioned Chulin Shenazar Altairus Truma was because there's no option other than that case, then he is the one that said that we cannot learn our Mishnah as referring to Chulin Shenazar Altairus HaKodesh. Does this, it's a little bit subtle, but let me put it a different way, okay? There's a number of different reasons for why Rabbi Yeshua only said Chulin Shenazar Altairus Truma. Okay, so first we thought there were two possible reasons. That's the only case, because there's no such thing as Chulin Shenazar Altairus HaKodesh. And then Ula said, no, maybe it's even. There's even a case of Chulin Shenazar Altairus Truma. But there is a third explanation. The third explanation is, there is such a thing as Chulin Shenazar Altairus HaKodesh, and Rabbi Yeshua is brilliantly coming to limit his din in the Mishnah and Tyrus to a case where it was Bedavka Chulin Shenazar Altairus Truma, because that was the only time that someone who ate a shlishi could possibly become a sheni. And that's because the shlishi that he ate was Altairus Truma. And Tyrus Truma is actually considered to be pure Tuma vis-a-vis Kodesh. So there were three possible reasons all along. We just never realized them. Since, according to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana's explanation, the point that Rabbi Yeshua answers Rabbi Eliezer is only that I happened to be talking about that case, and therefore it works out fine. And it was not clear to Rabbi Eliezer that that case was mentioned because it was the explanation. It was mentioned because it's the only option. So therefore, he's the one that understands that you can't learn our Mishnah like Rabbi Yeshua, because he took Rabbi Yeshua as meaning there's no other possibility. So that's what we want to say over here. As far as Ula is concerned, Ula says, I never heard this conversation, and, you know, this is something you were mekabel from your Rebbe. I don't believe it. I believe Rabbi Yeshua would have said, whether we're talking about Chulin Shenazar Altairus HaKodesh, the same thing would be true, except that the din here was only said on Chulin Shenazar Altairus Truma. So this means that the option that we were ignoring is the actual svara of Rabbi Yeshua, which leaves open the question of whether Rabbi Yeshua believes that there's such a concept of Chulin Shenazar Altairus HaKodesh, or he doesn't, and he was limited to saying Altairus Truma. Okay? Are we clear? Three possible reasons. All right. So therefore, we don't necessarily have to explain our Mishnah as referring to Chulin Shenazar Altairus HaKodesh Shalo Kedivrei Rabbi Yeshua. It could even be Kedivrei Rabbi Yeshua. That's how Ula wants to make things work out, and everything, therefore, is fine. So now, what would, in fact, be the din of somebody who eats the tuna? We have this machlokas in the din in Mishnah and Tyrus. So, Amar Rebbe Zera, Amar Rebbe Asi, Amar Rebbe Yochanan, Amar Rebbe Yanai, the halacha lamaisa is, if you eat shlishi of a chulin shenazar altairus hakodesh, then your goof, becomes a sheni for kodesh. Now, this is a whole different issue. This is based on the idea that when you're eating chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, you may think that you're eating it on the same level as kodesh. But the fact is, even chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh is not really kodesh. And therefore, it's subject to the same chumras that we put on things that are not kodesh when they come in touch with kodesh. That's the point. And therefore, eating food, which is super duper extra bahadrin, Beit Yosef and Reuben together, and even Tanuva's Besdin of Mahadrin, and it's guaranteed to be chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, if you drink that, you eat that, you're going to become tameh in terms of chulin. So your body becomes, in terms of kodesh itself, because your body was eating chulin in reality, and therefore we're machmer on you that anything that isn't really kodesh is mitameh kodesh. Fine. So now this is seems to be going according to the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua, that somebody who eats a shlishi can become a sheni, but it's going according to the explanation of Rabbi Yoshua that the din of eating chulin shenasu al taras truma was not the reason, it was the even, like Ula said, which would be lovely except for one little problem. And that is that this was stated by Rabbi Yochanan here, right? Rabbi Yochanan Omer Rabbi Yanai. But the previous din that we were talking about in terms of, we were trying to prove who this person was, it was Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. And we said that was him. And he was the Chavrusa. Who was that? Who reported that? Rabbi Yochanan Omer Rabbi Bar Bar Chana Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Now Rabbi Yochanan is contradicting himself. First he was saying over what the conversation had been between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, according to which the only thing that is going to be the Kabbal Tuma as if it were actual able to be Mekabal Tuma from a Sheni if it's Chulin, was Chulin Shenasu al Taras Truma. And now, when it comes to the halacha lamaisa here on Amud Beis, he's saying that, well, in terms of the practical halacha, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Omer Rabbi Yanai, that you become, if you eat chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, which according to the Rabbi Yochanan was quoting Rabbi Bar Bar Chana before, does not exist, aliba the Rabbi Yoshua. Now he's saying nasu guf v'sheni l'kodesh, which is the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua in the Mishnah. Oh my God. So we've got Rabbi Yochanan contradicting himself over here left and right. Well, but before we get to dealing with that contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan, let's take a look at whether what is said over here, Rabasi was also in this list, it was Rabbi Zera, Rabasi, Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Zera asked Rabasi, what you just taught me doesn't make sense. Because look, the Mishnah said, Shlishi sheni lekodesh ve'ein sheni letruma b'chulin shenasu al taras truma. Didn't he mean only al taras truma and not al taras hakodesh? And now you're paskening like him, talking about taras hakodesh. And good Lord, Reb Asi openly responds by saying, nah, he just meant what Ula said he meant. He meant Lomi Boikama. Reb Yeshua was just trying to say there's not only a din of a shlishi on a chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. There is even a shlishi on chulin shenasu al taras truma. Lomi Boikama. But what? I thought Reb Yeshua said at the end of the putative conversation between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, didn't he say, Afani lo amarti ela betruma kama? I only mentioned truma. And I mean only truma. And Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said that before in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Good Lord. And we took that to mean that that shows that actually it's the din is limited to a chulin shenasu al taras truma, not because that's the reason, but because that's what he holds. And that's why Rabbi Eliezer never took it to mean that this is the reason. So how can now Rabasi quote Rabbi Yochanan and say that if you eat a shlishi shal chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, which doesn't exist, supposedly, according to the previous thing that Rabbi Yochanan said, when he was quoting Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. I'm very confused. Well, you have a good reason to be confused. That's because this is a real contradiction. But remember, we often find that in Rabbi Yochanan's Beis HaMedrash, we've got some Amoraim that quote him this way and some Amoraim that quote him that way. And we often have Amoraininu Aliba de Rabbi Yochanan. We often have Rabbi Yochanan quoted in different ways. Okay, so the Rabbi Yochanan that we quoted on Amud Aleph was the description of the conversation between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, according to which we concluded that it's Rabbi Bar Chana that made it impossible to make the Mishnah work out according to Rabbi Yeshua in a case of eating chulin shenazra taras hakodesh, because there ain't no such thing. And then Rabbi Yochanan here on Amud Beis is understanding the way that Ula understood the statement of Pechulun Shenazra Taras Truma, meaning even Shenazra Taras Truma, and not only Shenazra Taras Truma. So it's Amoroi Ninu, the Aliba, the Rabbi Yochanan. Fine. Now, let's move on to talk about what the din is of eating a Shlishi Shenazra Taras Truma. So, Ula himself says, someone who eats that shlishi of chulin shenazra taras truma, which was the case that even, according to him, that Rabbi Yeshua was saying, even the chulin shenazra taras truma is considered to be a real truma. And what happens to that person? Well, what happens is that it isn't really truma, is it? Huh? No. It isn't really truma, it's virtual truma. Well, same way that you guys just said, that if you eat virtual kodesh, namely chulin shenazra taras hakodesh, you become tamei for real kodesh. Well, I'm telling you something else. If you eat chulin shenazra taras truma, you become tamei for eating real truma. And you become tamei in terms of psul haguf. You're not going to be tamei to be able to be metamei truma. You certainly don't become a sheni in terms of negiyah. But you become the equivalent of a shlishi. Well, what's a shlishi? A shlishi doesn't pasul truma. No, but a shlishi can't eat truma. So therefore, your body becomes pasul, and you are no longer allowed to eat truma because you ate something that was certified super-duper, not tamei, by Bezdin of Rubin, and nonetheless you became tamei for achilas truma. What do you say about that? So that's because the virtual is never quite as good as the real thing. Don't trust your AI as far as you can throw. That's basically what that psak is. Anyway, what's the chiddush in that? I mean, didn't the Mishnah say that? Maika Marshmallow. So what's the Chiddush of Ula over here? What did Rabbi Yeshua say in the Mishnah in Tirus? Tanina. Shlishi, if you eat a shlishi, you become a sheni lakodesh, but you don't become a sheni latruma, where if you ate chulin shenazra taras truma. Now, I mean, from what I understand the words, your ain't sheni latruma means you're not a sheni latruma. Yeah, but you are a shlishi. Sheni udelohave. So he seems to be saying, you are not going to have a problem in touching truma. Because truma can be touched by a shlishi. But you still would be a shlishi as far as eating truma is concerned. So what do I need ula for? I mean, I know how to read the Mishnah in Tirus. And that is essentially what Rabbi Yeshua himself spelled out. Answers the Gemara, no, that diak, for would it be for Ula? I would never have made such a diak. Imiyahi, based on the Mishnah in Tirus, I would have said, Hava Mina, when it says he's a sheni lekodesh ve'ein sheni latruma, doesn't mean he's a sheni lekodesh, but he's not a sheni latruma, he's a shlishi latruma. I never would say that. I would say he's using the word sheni to mean tuma, essentially, right? So he's a sheni lekodesh, but not for truma. That's all he's saying. Since he used the word sheni in terms of kodesh as a substitute for the word tuma. So therefore, he used the same word to say not for truma, but he's not tamei at all for truma. Hava Amina, I would have thought without Ula that he's not a sheni, but he's also not a shlishi. Lo sheni avi velo shlishi avi. Except since he used the word sheni. Benogea the Kodesh, he said he's a sheni le Kodesh, but don't think he's a sheni le Truma. But it didn't mean he's anything. Kamashvon, that's why Ula needs to tell us, no. He means exactly what he said. He's not a sheni le Kodesh, but he's a sheni le Truma. But he definitely is a shlishi le Truma. That for sure. Wow. Okay. Tomorrow, this has been a very busy daf. I know it's not a very long daf, but it's a little bit of a subtle daf, and it's introducing some of these wonderful ideas about how the guf can be nifsal, the very subtle machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua that involved us in Nivlas of Tomei, pointed out that it's not so poshut, Nivlas of Tohar, I mean, pointed out it's not so poshut to use the tumah of a Nivlas of Tohar as a model, because it's basically out of range. That's called chiddushu. You can't learn anything from it. We also learned about sheni b'tameh sheni ayidei mashkin. We also reminded ourselves of the klal that kol ha'pesel is a truma, meaning that it was given a din of a sheni d'rabbanan, and that causes psul by truma and not tuma. So kol ha'pesel is a truma is another way of saying anything which is a sheni l'tuma. That din of sheni l'tuma turns mashkin into a rishon, which gives us these extra issues that we need to consider in the din of achila. We also learned about the interrelationship of the shear of the tuma versus the chumra of the tuma, and recognize that we can't possibly, according to Rabbi Yeshua, learn out one from the other, and that that's not a good svar as Rabbi Yehuda taina to Rabbi Yeshua. And we also understood that there's really three ways of reading that Mishnah in Tahiris to get a proper grasp of what Rabbi Yeshua was saying. Either Rabbi Yeshua was saying there is no such thing as Chumash Nasu Al Taras HaKedesh, there's only Chumash Nasu Al Taras Truma, or he was saying there's even such a thing as Chumash Nasu Al Taras Truma, or he was saying the halacha that I just said to you, that somebody who ate a shlishi of chulin shenasu al taras truma becomes a sheni, is only valid for chulin shenasu al taras truma, because truma is considered to be tomei etzel kodesh, which has no bearing on whether there is a concept of chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh or not. I was just explaining to you my sfora. So now we have a better grasp of the alternative pshat in our Mishnah. And so far, we're left with these two possibilities. We might be talking about Yadayim. When the Mishnah said, Ne'achal b'yadayim b'so'avot, we might have meant Yadayim b'so'avot that are Rishon, which would be true Aliba to Rabbi Akiva Shita, the way it's understood by Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, or it might be talking about Ne'achal b'yadayim b'so'avot, but what we mean over here is that the thing that you're eating, the meat that you're eating, is the type of meat, even though it's chulin, like we proved, is going to be makabel tuma from even yadayim that are shniyais. And what would that be? Well, that would be only chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. It couldn't possibly be chulin shenasu al taras truma, because nobody would think that a piece of meat is a grape. And therefore, there was never any takana of confusing tuma, the tuma for truma on a piece of meat with the tuma of truma for eating peras that are shayach to truma. That basically sums up in a nutshell what our daf was about. I admit that it might take a little bit of review for you to feel fully comfortable with what's going on, but I'm telling you, you'll have such fun when you're comfortable with it, because it's really such a joyous, like, whoa, the subtleties are just beautiful.